Welcome back. This is episode 8 of the Ultra Bros. I'm Valentine.
I'm Constantine.
And today, I had a bit of not really an interesting week, but a different week, an unusual week. And so I'll be talking a bit about why that was.
Well, I think what we want to talk about, well, to start talking about is the little things. I'm gonna start by asking you. You can talk about your week and how this, but I'm curious about what for you right now are little things that you do in your day that you think make a big impact. That's what I'm talking about here. I don't want to be specific here. I'm talking about where do you think the 80, you know, that 20-80 rule?
Oh, like no, I don't know that rule.
Well, no, it's a whole concept. You know, like 20% of something represents 80% of the impact.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, I get it.
And I think it came from Machiavelli, remember, where he's like 80% of the land was owned by 20% of the population.
Oh, okay,
you know this.
Oh no, I don't know that. I don't know, I don't remember reading that, but actually there is, I have heard about something, yes, about that similar. It was called like the Pareto, no, actually not Pareto. It's called the something distribution, about how in almost everything, like economics or social something,
yes,
90% of like all the wealth or all the production or all the manufacturing are always done by 10%,
yes,
of that group. Exactly. Oh, is that what you're referring to?
Well, it's same idea.
Yeah,
same
okay, that's some okay idea.
So on that grain, right? So what are the little things you think that you do in your day that carry the biggest impact? Or not even like, I'm not talking about habits, I'm just talking about like just things you can do in your day that you feel like something has, that have a big impact. Or you know, sometimes where you notice, we're like...
Okay, yeah, no, I see what you're trying to get. Yeah, I think when it comes to the little thing, the smallest things that have the biggest impact, I would say, I think the first thing is waking up at the same time every day probably has a huge impact. Even though, I mean, it is a pretty small thing, you just get out of bed, right? But I think getting out of bed every single day is pretty huge, because it gives you like some kind of control and consistency from day to day. So, you know, and I think at the end of the day, I think everybody wants to have as much control over their lives as they can, right? So if you can start your day at the same time every day, no matter what's going on, like let's say you're messing up at school or things are not going so great at home or whatever, it makes you feel like things aren't that bad, I guess, because it's not like things are getting out of hand and now you're waking up at like 12, you know, then you wake up and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? So at least if you wake up at the same time every day, you give yourself like a better chance of having the mindset where like, okay, you know, let's take this easy, just another day. You know, so I think that has a pretty big impact of waking up at the same time every day. And I think a big part of that is I noticed how things are not so well when I don't wake up at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, when I wake up at the same time, you allow yourself to like get into a routine, have your routine, get that like sense of stability a bit, you know, because it's like, again, doesn't matter what's going on, you know that from this time to this time you're working on these things that you think are important, right? But the moment you start waking up at a different time, then you have to start getting to discussion like, oh, should I do the habits I usually do? Do I just ignore that and go straight to school or whatever? And then you feel like, you know, and then at the end, most of the time you don't want to make that decision, right? You want to do both. So I think waking up at the same time has probably the biggest impact. Something else that I do,
if you think on your day, right, or just, yeah, you know.
Well, I know this is not something I do, but it's, I guess, something that I think does help when I'm able to do it, and that is like keeping my world small. Like, or like not allowing myself to get overwhelmed, because I feel like if I'm sorry,
okay,
go. Yeah, I know. I think that's, now I have a really hard time doing that.
What does that mean, keeping your world small?
Focusing on just focusing on like the next 15 minutes and not being concerned over the fact, or not necessarily concerned, but not wasting your time considering of all the things you still have to do, all the things you haven't done, all the things you're behind in, you know, because that doesn't help you be any more productive or any, but usually for me, makes things worse, right? When I realize like how, you know, from behind or all the things I have to do or all the things I said I was going to do, wasn't going to do, that for some reason makes me even less productive because, you know, I get into like bad, negative, you know, mind, whatever, thought patterns. But I feel like if you're able to keep your world small, then think, or, you know, not allow yourself to bet to get over, what was the word I just used? Overwhelmed.
Okay, I wanted to say that.
Overwhelmed. Makes it a lot easier, and I guess a reason for this is actually this morning. I woke up like a lot later than usual, and I woke up, and usually when I wake up a lot later, like I don't know what I'm supposed to do and stuff like that. And that's the other thing is because my morning routine is, you know, somewhat long, when I don't wake up at the same time, it's hard for me to convince myself to do it. Because I'm like, but if I do one thing, I want to do the other things. And then it would be like 2 p.m, you know? So I think so it's important. So, and I realized something this morning that helped. And it's something that I know that when I don't do other days, makes things a lot worse, but it's like, I just focus on what I was I tried my best to focus on exactly what I was doing at that moment. Not necessarily being in the present moment, because like I can't do that. I don't think anyone can, you know. It's hard. But I was just focused, like, you know,
totally can.
If I was like, if I was doing my, you know, push-ups, I was like, don't think about the plank or the cold shower after that or the meditation. Don't think about all you gotta do. Just do these push-ups. And then when you're done those push-ups, then you're done those push-ups, you know, don't think about, and then you've done that. And then you're like, okay, now I'm just gonna do this plank, you know, and then just focus on that. And then like, you know, just focus on the plank, then you're done the plank. And then instead of being, okay, now I have all these other things to do, instead I'm like, okay, look at that. I've done this. And then I just, you know, so I think that makes it easier because, for me, the moment I get overwhelmed, I'm not able to like step up and just, you know, for me, I have to like keep a lot of things like under under control for me to actually properly face them. And I think, and I see that in my projects. Like, let's say if I'm sitting down and I tell myself, okay, I have to finish this project today, or I have to do all this work, or I have to read like 150 pages, I'll lose my productivity for some reason. I'll start procrastinating more because I'll be like, I can't do that. How am I supposed to, you know? But if I'm just like, you know, for the next hour, just do as, you know, just think about, don't think about how close you're, just do your, you know, do your best for the next hour. That helps me a lot more. So if I had the mentality where it's like, where I could just focus on what's going on right now. So instead of like waking up early in the morning and be like, oh, I'm super tired, I want to go back to bed and think about me going back to bed, and just like focus on getting up, putting my workout clothes. And if I could do that all the time, that would be, I think that would help.
Do you think, because you know, I think this week, you mentioned like some of your days weren't peak, as you get older, right? And assuming you keep at this momentum and you keep on, you know, this, do you like having like days are just garbage, like garbage days? Do you, I personally don't think that. I think the, you know, when you go and become more successful. Well, actually, you know, I just want to mention something that bothers me. You know, when they interview like super successful people, you know, people start companies or you know, the extremely successful people, and then they ask them right now, what's your routine like? And then they give you this very structured routine that seems flawless and they do it perfectly. I think that's so misguiding. Okay, so because it's like, I would be very interested in what was your routine before any of this happened to you.
Yeah, that helped you get to the point.
Because like sometimes we'll get these people, because I think the reason is because I know there's this book out there, and it's a thick book. I forget the title. I forget who wrote it. I remember it was an Indigo, and I saw it, and I started. And basically, the whole premise of the book is it interviewed like hundreds of successful, famous people. Some are just not that famous, but just, you know, successful people that did something in their lives, had one thing they wanted to be really good at and excelled in that, made a lot of money, all right? Mm-hmm. And then the whole book is basically asking them questions of like, you know, what's your morning routine? What do you do? You know, what's your plan? What's your day like? I think that's so misguiding, because I that's your routine now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That definitely changed. Like when you were struggling, think you're going to fail.
Yeah, they probably said like, oh yeah, back then I never slept. Woke up in my underwear, passed out on the computer, ate Cheetos.
Didn't shave, where a razor was. Like, what about those? I want to hear those.
Yeah, because you do hear about that. You do hear about people who are like, you know how I became successful? I never left the computer. I fell asleep programming. I woke up.
Here's something that's taboo, and I think it should be taboo. A bad day. A complete, like, a shit day.
Mm.
I would love for like the Tim Cook, you know, the CEO of Apple, to just be like, you know, guys,
show up one day for an interview, doesn't have just a like guys, a,
I'm having a bad day,
hasn't shaved in 3 days,
like just losing,
got a like, ketchup stain on his shirt,
just sorry,
bit of alcohol,
but it's like on the breath. You in my head, like these are, you have to like, you can never forget, these are humans, right? They're not robots. There's for sure they have like one, they have at least one shit day a month.
Breakdown on camera. So the next,
it's like, but you think about like, you know, when you look, and this is why I'm never a fan of Instagram or any of these social media, especially when they like, because they give you like a snapshot of a millisecond into someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know what's happening around, you know, the context, what happened after, what happened before. Like that person could be going through something really hard, you know, like, I think that's one of the things I believe. Everybody's going through something.
Yeah.
It depends. Some people are going through something that's more heavy, you know, more intense, more depressing than others. But everybody has something. And sometimes people have something that's not as bad, but they take it very bad. You know, they're not able to process it as well as somebody. Yeah. So in my mind, everybody's dealing with something that's weighing down on them. And you never see that, right? I'm assuming that, because then it's like that it can't be just me, like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
The only one.
Maybe these successful people are like aliens.
No, they're not. But,
they're probably not.
Maybe you can't entertain that thought.
But that's a good point about the Instagram. I guess I don't really think about that just because I, you know, got rid of.
Yeah.
But I can see how, like, that would be harmful to someone to everyday look at someone who's always like seems to be on top of everything. I can see how that would. I don't know. Make you hate yourself.
I just don't.
You're
see,
like, how am I not like
that? I never even got on the boat of it because I never saw how that would just make how would this make me happy?
Yeah.
Like, and I like, best case scenario, I post something, I get a lot of likes.
I remember when I was on Twitter, actually, the main thing I use it for was like, I follow like, you know, those Twitter accounts that have like motivational pictures with like quotes on them.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And I used to download most of them.
Yeah.
You know, because I thought they were cool. But I guess now I realize more that you don't know who the guy is who posted that, you know, the guy who, and I do notice that now, because, you know, like before, and I'm sure this is common for a lot of people, the moment you see like a picture with like a quote on it, not even like if someone, not like a famous quote, but just like a saying,
yeah,
then you're like, wow, you know, just
beautiful.
Because it was posted on like Instagram or something, you read it, you're like, wow, you know,
beautiful background.
Just the context, like the fact that you see on the internet. But then you realize that the person who wrote this might have no idea what they were talking about, you know,
probably going
when like, and it was funny. This reminds me of something that happened like a few days ago. I forgot where I saw this, but it was on the internet and I saw, you know, that wise baboon from The Lion King, the wise.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah. I don't say his name. What's his name?
I don't know his name.
His name is, come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
There's
somebody out there screaming.
Yeah, I don't know, but you know, he like one scene he's like meditating.
Yes.
And so someone took that scene, like took a picture of that, and then on top of it they put a saying, what was it? They said something like, anger when properly used is courage. And when I read that, you know, just because, like, you know, it was in a picture and I was like, that's such a good point. And then 2 seconds later, I was like, what the are you talking about? Anger is probably his courage.
Think about that.
Yeah, exactly. Anger. I was thinking about, and that just like reinforced the idea, like, who is this person? Like, who wrote this? Like, okay, if it turned out like Abraham said that, I'd be like, okay, I should probably listen. I should probably understand
maybe
at a point what he's saying. Like, even if I don't understand right now, I should, you know, I should read up on this. And, yeah. Should maybe talk to some of his relatives. But looking at that, I was like, the fact that there was no, like, said by probably means it was said by some random dude eating Cheetos in his basement.
Yeah.
You know? And then I was like, and the funny thing is like, and it was also the fact that you saw this person in a meditative stance, yeah? And I feel like whenever you see that, usually, like, your mind immediately associates it with, like, wisdom. So it's like, when you read it, without even thinking about it, initially, you're like, that's a great point. I guess I wasn't wise enough to think of it that way.
Yeah.
But so, after a minute, I was like, what the? That sounds like such bull to me.
I know, but that's a funny, I think it's a good segue into, like, you know, like, motivational stuff. I think it could definitely be helpful.
Well, I remember reading one thing.
Yeah.
I remember reading one thing. And then again, this was back when I was like maybe like 14.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like just like gobbling. Oh my God, this is brilliant. And I remember this one thing. It's like, you know, something, I don't remember exactly, but something like, be so impressive that, like, you never have to introduce yourself or something like that.
Jesus.
And so to me, I was like, all right, never introducing myself ever again. You know? But, like, you know, and or there's like all that stuff where it's, you know, it just says like all these quotes or like, and then that thing that you start using to other people. I remember this one thing. I still remember it. That shows, it was something like, you know, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Which is so stupid, right? So how nice. Stupid is that? But I bet you. I don't remember, but maybe not. I don't know. But I'm sure at one point in my childhood, I either quoted that or I really wanted to say it to someone, you know? Oh, really? Knowledge is knowing tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is not putting in a fruit salad.
Well said.
Man.
It's well put.
And then, like, well, you're put. Like, look at me, I'm a top dog. I just outbrained this guy. When you realize you're so stupid. But yeah, that was funny. If anything, like, looking back at those kind of things just makes me. Convinces me like that the best mentor, teacher, motivate all like book you will ever read is just spending time with yourself.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Doing stuff by yourself and learning from yourself.
That's I was actually thinking. I was just thinking about that. And I was this whole, you know, when you have people giving you like things of wisdom and. This is like when you have like a mentor and you know they're teaching you or somebody who's just, you know, wide and telling you this is what you should do. Yeah. This is you know, don't go down my path, you know. Like I did it this way.
But maybe I should.
They're like, avoid my mistakes, you know. That okay, so I understand. So, you know, bear with me, because I understand the logic here. I get that this could work.
Yeah.
But I think deep inside I kind of have this belief that it worked for you, you know. You didn't like, you know.
It's, yeah, so your mistakes is what actually makes the change.
Exactly.
Not like the realization
you,
after.
Your mistakes made like you are so much better off doing the mistake and then learning from it. Like I really have I'm a strong belief that you learn the best two ways. The best first I think is by failing, by you know, screwing up royally on something. Because that gives you such a strong incentive to be like, well, I saw the consequences.
So much negative emotion.
So unpleasant, so embarrassed, so whatever. It's like, okay, well, that's a good lesson. And then you remember that. Because, you know, we remember.
And the emotions were personal.
And then the second thing is by teaching. And I think if there's something, and that's, I think that, you know, the whole mentors giving advice, I think, sure, it's helpful. But I think it's even more helpful for them.
Yeah, because you start realizing the loopholes in your own.
Yeah, well, you
like,
start.
That sounds like a whole lot
of
bullshit.
It forces you to piece your own ideas together and to verbalize them, and then you're trying. Then you're hearing yourself, and you're like, okay, that makes sense. Is that? And you're reflecting. which I think, you know, you don't learn by doing, you learn by reflecting.
Yeah.
So I, you know, part of that, I think maybe mentors are just being selfish.
But yeah. Well, I mean, cause
there's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I mean, which is because I know that for the longest time, you know, I read so much stuff and I looked up at so much stuff about, like, you know, these people who make a career off giving people advice, you know, and they tell you like this, what you're supposed to do when you hit this kind of wall, when you hit this, you know, and none of it has ever helped me, because it's like, that's like your understanding, you know, that's your development. Now, obviously there are some things that are kind of universal. Like if you really want to mess up your life, go kill someone, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so there's some, yeah, there's some things that are pretty universal, but when it comes to like, you know, the stuff that you really need to know on a day-to-day basis, like, you know, the general stuff that we know you should never do, you should do, is pretty general. You know, it applies to like a long time. But when it comes to like, how do I get me, myself, Valentin, to do this thing for the next 30 minutes? You know, the best way to learn is to keep trying to do it over and over again. And eventually you'll learn, you know, from yourself. You'll have like your own realization. You'll try different things.
Because I think, and I think to that point is, as long as you want it, then.
That's the thing.
If you don't really want it, then, well, why? Yeah. There's no incentive. But as long as it matters to you, and it's something that you actually want, then don't worry about it. You know, you'll find a way. You know, exactly, you'll try something. It won't work.
The moment you want it.
Perfect example. We have a younger brother who's doing a project right now.
Yeah,
he's doing he wants to do a YouTube video.
He just wants to make like a video for us. He wants to show us a video of him doing like a lightsaber duel with his younger brother, with our youngest. Well, not our youngest, but the youngest of the brothers.
Yeah, there you go.
So he wanted to make a lightsaber duel. Got his little brother to do it with him.
And he's like, every day he's facing a new challenge.
And he's working. Yeah, and that's the cool
something
thing.
Nobody's helping him.
Mainly because no one knows what he's doing.
Completely new territory. He's editing software. Zero experience into videos, software editing. We don't have any of the setups required. We just have a desktop that he has access to. And then
and an internet connection.
And
he's learning so much Google. Every day.
And every day he's coming back.
Every day he's like, oh, this happened, this problem. Was like, for me at that age, I'd be like, oh, problem, screw it. And then he's like, but because he wanted to do it, he figured out, like he went on the internet or he tried different. And then he learns. It's pretty cool. Yeah. It is pretty cool.
Because he wanted it. It mattered to him.
It's like we could have tried to force him to learn something else.
Yeah.
And figure it out and try to motivate him. And we probably wouldn't have gone as far as he has by himself in the past few days just because he decided he wanted to do that.
Or you just introduce him to do things and you let him.
Yeah, you hope something will stick.
Exactly, that's
just
the hope.
Chug stuff at him and then hope one day he'll be like, "I want to do that again."
Yeah,
that is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. That made me really happy.
Yeah, that honestly, that did, because I never had that where I had an own project that I pursued myself at such a young age. Like now, you know, I feel like the very first thing we ever did, a project that we pursued ourselves, was the Ultra Running. At least for me, it was.
Yeah. Like,
and that was only like 2 years ago, where it wasn't like our parents signed us up for a sport or signed us up for a camp or signed us up for a lesson or enrolled us in a competition or told us to enroll, you know, by ourselves. We decided to do this. No one told us to do it.
Like, there's a bunch of other stuff. I see, because I was.
But I'm trying to think for myself.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think there are other projects that I didn't do that was like school related or family related. Nothing that just out of the blue, I was like, I
want to do this.
Want to do this.
Interesting.
I think it was the first time.
Yeah.
But even that, see, I learned so much from that.
Yeah.
From going through the process and not learning from books, learning from myself, like. Yeah. You know, we didn't learn from books. All we learned was it's possible for human beings to run these distances.
Turns out salt's important.
Yeah. and then we looked up on the internet, like a training plan to be able to run 100 miles. And then we didn't like read books up on it. We just started doing it. And then we started realizing, like, it would be nice to bring some water. And then we start realizing, like, you know, maybe these shoes on the run. Yeah. And then, like, maybe more food. And then one day we ran a marathon and we realized we probably should eat even more food. You know, so we were learning as we went. We're trying different types of food.
Yeah,
yeah. We're learning, like, what motivates us, what doesn't. And I think the really cool thing about deciding to start doing ultra running is I saw how easy it can be to do something that you thought would be, like, impossible.
But you also, you know what's the best part of all this? We'd even run 100 miles.
Yeah, well, we're not at that point yet. We're still learning.
No, but we did the whole training, and then we didn't even do the final goal.
That's so true.
But look at what everything you learned, and look at it, like,
yeah,
talk about how the journey is so much more valuable than the actual end goal. Obviously,
we're still working towards.
it's a process.
We're still working towards
it. I think just to clarify it, we attempted to run 100 miles. But we were only able to run 50.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of mistakes were made.
But I think that was another thing. You know, a reason why we were only able to make 50 is, again, because we were learning by ourselves. And so we made so many mistakes.
A lot of mistakes
made. Going into it that made it pretty hard for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, but again, that means the next time, you know, we could have gone into it with, like, a coach and all these things and maybe succeeded the first time, but we wouldn't have learned all this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
If we ever had to do it by ourselves, we'd be like, oh, well, what did my coach do? What did my, you know, team do? What did my parents do?
Yeah.
Whereas now, if someone was like, you know, you're by yourself, go do that, I'll be like, okay, well, I tried this once before.
Yeah.
This one went wrong. This is what I can do better.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's so cool. Instead of depending on all this external knowledge.
Yeah.
And the moment they're gone, you lose all that knowledge. Whereas we're in situation where we're able to kind of learn that knowledge by ourselves. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think I really like that. I think that's the craziest part. Our goal was to run 100 miles.
And it's probably going to be so much more wonderful once we actually do get to it. Because it's not like, thanks, you know, mom and dad, thanks, coach, for getting me here.
Yeah.
It's like, holy schmaholy, I did this.
Yeah.
I did this.
Shut the front door.
I did this. Me. I think that would be wonderful. And to know that you tried and you actually initially didn't succeed.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it makes the prize, you know, everyone says, again, that's another one of those sayings that you read about, but because you read about it, you're like, what the hell? You know?
Yeah.
You know, and everything is, anything worth having, like, is hard to get or takes many attempts. You know that saying?
Sure. Yeah.
Anything worth having doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
And to us, to most people, you're like, oh, that's a great point. But if you haven't, like, experienced that to some degree, then you probably don't understand, you know, exactly what they're saying.
I think most people get that.
No, but you get it. You get it, like, from an intellectual perspective.
No, but most people do things that everybody does something hard. And I think hard is also relative.
Yeah. But yeah, hard for you, you know?
Hard though. That was tough.
I mean, if you might have a certain, people might have certain situations where just running a marathon by itself is like a huge,
well, it is.
Huge accomplishment.
It is a huge
accomplishment. So, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's absolutely like, I think at the end of the day, it's just being in that position where you're really just depending on yourself.
Yeah,
gives you the opportunity to learn so much more than you ever would if you just had someone to tell you what to do. That's really nice.
Yeah.
But going back to your initial question where you asked me like what are two things in my day that I feel have like the biggest that give me the most, what are two things for you? What would be two things?
What was it? Two things that were asked?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're two things that are small or more. Just doesn't matter.
Like, what are things that you think that make a big impact? Like two things, like 20%.
Yeah, but I'm asking you that now.
Oh, okay.
What would those two things be for you?
You know, it's funny. I think one thing that I because you interpret it differently than how I interpret. Like
what would your interpretation be?
Oh jeez,
oh shucks, guys. Oh, geez, Rick. I don't know.
God, 20. I have to be cliche, like my morning routine, but yeah. I definitely see that my mindset is better. I'm definitely happier that I did it. You know, I don't know if it makes me happier, but I know that whenever I do it, I feel like
I mean,
the day's starting and already, mm-hmm. you know.
I get that. I
feel like I'm on top of the day. I'm not like trailing behind, rushing through. Like I'm in control. That's a big thing, you know. Being in control.
Control. Yeah.
That's a feeling we chase. Like everybody.
Oh, I want. Yeah. I mean, that's why I do most of what I do.
Talk about like what's a common thing.
Just to get to the point where I become king of my environment.
And that brings in everything. Right. It brings in like, you know, a personal wealth. That brings in, you know, control everything. Over your relationship. Yeah. Over. You know, because I think it's so easy as to lose control.
Mm-hmm. And losing control is not a nice feeling.
It's not.
I feel like you have to be a very particular person to enjoy losing
control. Well, no, it's not that you enjoy. The important thing is you have to be aware of it. Because I know sometimes I'll lose control in the sense of a certain dimension in my life. I'll kind of like... I won't look at it from a very logical, reasonable point of view. Like there'll be other emotions involved where I'd be like, "Oh, I'm fine, it's all," but deep inside, like I'm not aware that I lost control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing bad, never. It's always just a learning experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's interesting how, you know, you it's such a delicate thing. So like a couple of things you can do is kind of address your environment so you don't, if ever you're in that position where you lose control.
There's
a lot of applications.
And I guess that's a big part where I really rely on my morning routine, because a big part or a good, an important part of your day is entirely under your control. And even if the rest of the day isn't under your control, you know, at school, like things are really like you're not out of whack. At least instead of your whole day being like that and you get, and like me, you get overwhelmed, you're like, yeah, you know, part of the day is like that, but you kind of put it in a framework, you know, it's like you're putting the chaos in a box.
Yeah.
Instead of the chaos like exploding through your entire life and throughout your entire day, it's like, okay, chaos is only from this time to that time. But then after that, it's perfect order, perfect cleanliness.
Yeah.
But from this time to this time, that's when the chaos happens. But from the other times, like, oh, now I do this.
But that's where you're talking to me about the appeal of the military.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that happens to me. And I'd be surprised if this happens to other guys as well.
Yeah.
But whenever I am not in a good place, things are going very poorly. And, you know, I start getting obsessed with the army, but I shouldn't say getting obsessed, but I will sincerely think about, consider applying for the army, look at positions,
really?
Look at what it would take to get in.
I think that might just be me,
but you know,
I've never heard of that,
but that has always been there since elementary school.
That's crazy.
Cause I remember when I was in elementary school, you know, all the problems I have now, I realized that I'm only starting to like fix them now.
Yeah.
But I realized they were all like there since they were there since elementary school.
Interesting.
Where I had, and the biggest problem for me was self-discipline.
Yeah.
Which I'm guessing is a big problem for most people.
Sure. Oh my God. Yeah.
So for me, I remember ever since I was in elementary school, I'm not sure what grade, but I would ask my parents to send me to cadet. Well, I asked our parents. To send me to cadet school.
Yeah, I remember that.
And multiple times I would think about it. And to me, because like that was the solution to my problems.
Yeah.
I was going to get a drill sergeant who was going to whip me into shape. I would be under his command.
Yeah.
And then he would turn me into a man. He would turn me into someone who can take control of his life, who can like step up to the challenge and do what he has to do.
Yeah.
Instead of being like a, you know, little me that runs away from all my problems.
Little
and can't
weasel.
Face things. Exactly.
Yeah.
A little wimp, you know. So and that got really bad at the end of high school. first university, because those were like the 2 years that were like the worst for me.
Yeah.
So that's when that was like a constant thing. Yeah. It was like constantly. And funny enough, like when I hit like rock bottom, I literally, anyway, and like that was the thing that was most important was getting into the army.
Yeah.
It's
just crazy.
And the funny thing is I haven't had, that has been gone, that hasn't been with me for quite a few months now.
Yeah.
Just because I'm actually taking action to like improve my life, to take control, to improve self-discipline. But this past week, which was an awful week. Yeah. It was the first time in I don't know how many months that I missed more than one day of routines.
Okay.
Like I don't know, for the past, I don't know how many months, maybe I might miss one day.
Yeah.
But it might be like one day like per month or something like that. Whereas this was 5 days right after the other.
Yeah.
And what do you know? Even though I thought I had gone rid of that part of me, I was like, you know, I've been doing this stuff for over a year now.
Yeah.
Like I've killed that part of me, is like gone.
I'm convinced. Yes.
But then the moment the routine was gone, within 2 days, I was back looking at, you know,
deployments,
looking at like the files I had to fill in.
That's crazy.
To join the infantry. you know, what I would do to get into the infantry so I could like, you know, move ahead in my career, because I didn't want to be like an infantry guy, you know.
Of course.
So it's just crazy, right?
I love how you think it through.
But and I always kind of knew why that was, and the big reason for that was, whenever I'm in not such a good environment, I always know that the main reason is because lack of self discipline.
Oh, right. I see.
Now this week was kind of different, because I don't, even though yes, it was that, there's also a few other things, but. But I think something that I thought about over the course of this week was that what I'm really craving is, I'm craving control.
Yes.
That's what I'm craving above anything else. And I started realizing literally everything I do as part of my morning routine is all to get control.
Yes.
Like that's all, even the meditation. I'm not meditating to be like a loving person or to be, which actually I have noticed that meditation I don't think I'm a jerk, but I have noticed that meditation does make me more compassionate.
It makes you very,
even though
I've noticed this,
I've started noticing lately that I will start understanding other people's perspectives so much easier and a lot quicker than I ever did before.
That's interesting.
Whereas before, the moment I had an argument against my own, I would go into like defense mode.
And I've noticed this.
Because now I'm a lot more open.
Like a few days ago, I think I was annoying you purposely. But I wanted to get a reaction out of you. And you wouldn't give me that. You wouldn't give me a satisfaction or reaction.
But I have noticed that. But again, I'm not doing the meditation so that I can, you know, be in that state of flow.
Yes.
You know, being chill with the world.
Sure.
Be in love with my fellow neighbor. I am meditating for two reasons. One, because I want to control the thoughts that go in my mind.
That's what it is, yeah.
I want to control what I think about. Mm-hmm. I want to control what I choose. Like, and I realize most of the time, what's going in my head is not in my control. You know, it's just stuff like I'll see something and then I'll play this whole thing in my head. Something will say something. I want to be in control of what I think about, of what I choose to think about.
I want to pause right there. Yeah? For me, my opinion on that is you're never really in control of what thoughts come into your head. I think what you can control, though, is kind of your general mindset. So then when thoughts do come in your head, because inevitably they will, it's not like it's thoughts that, you know, bring uplift you, mm-hmm. that make you happy. They're not, you know, pessimistic, that negative, that simply bring you down.
But you still have to control them, right? You have to like, okay, I'm not thinking about that. You decide that this negative thought that usually would consume me, that would make me angry, like goodbye, you're gone.
Yeah.
And you don't think about, you know, so I want that ability of control.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, for people who are, for people who aren't into meditation, this might be a surprise. For people who are into it, not so much. But the whole idea that once you meditate, you start becoming more aware of your environment and its impact on you.
Sure.
And so I also want that, because if I start noticing, if through meditation, I start noticing how the environment around me starts to impact me, well, now I can start changing my environment consciously. Yeah. instead of being like, oh, I want to get rid of this, it's like, I can see how this is impacting me. I'll either get rid of it or not, you know?
Yeah.
So meditation, all about control. Running is, I want to develop the ability to endure to any point I want. So that means if I want to be able to work on a project for the next, you know, I don't know how long and not stop,
yeah,
I want to be able to do that because I decided I want to do that. Yeah. And to me, running is a good like training ground for that.
Well, right? What I like about like, well, it's not necessarily running, but I think if you just transferable
just to any endurance,
to, yeah, just things that are just really hard where you like, you want to quit while you're doing that thing. And I think what it does, it kind of helps you, because whenever you don't quit, man, whenever you make do that hard thing that in your head you're like, oh, I totally want to quit right now, but you don't, that's something that you can keep. That's something you, that's like almost like a badge, a, what are the, it's a cookie that you put in your cookie jar.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get that, I read that somewhere, and I think it's a brilliant concept, right? It's kind of like a badge of honor that you're able to keep. So whenever you're faced with something that you want to quit,
yeah,
it's a different activity, but you want to quit, you kind of, you take a second to think, well, you know, I did that thing. I didn't quit. I'm the same guy. I haven't changed. So I must be able to. I think, you know, maybe it's harder. Maybe it's completely different. But I get, I think, like, as I think it's always full circle for me. It always comes back, well, you're in a better mindset. It puts you in a better mindset. So you're better off. You know, you're better off handling that and hopefully succeeding. You're in a better position of doing well in that hard task.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it. And I feel like running, among other things, like, you know, you could do endurance swimming or I don't know, but it's just, for me, it's a very easy way to practice that skill. And and everything else, like, you know, why take cold showers? Just because I decided that's what I'm going to do, you know? And if my body or my mind doesn't want to, I've tried to find a way to do that because, I want that control.
Yeah.
Or even stretching.
Yeah.
You know, initially stretching was because I didn't want to hurt myself.
Yeah.
But now I realize a big reason why I stretch is because if I want to put my leg up here, I want to be able to do that because you know what I mean? So, yeah. So I realized that for me. And so whenever I lose control in my day-to-day life, like whenever the routine for me is that control.
Yeah.
Whenever I lose control, you know, then I start craving that control. And to me, I associate that with the army.
Yeah.
Because I associate the army with like complete discipline, control over your environment.
Yeah.
You're literally trained to become a weapon, you know? And, you know, if we're looking at this from like an evolutionary perspective, if we were back in the jungle, you know, where we came from, who is the person who is the most in control of his environment?
The guy with the gun.
Exactly. The guy who has the biggest muscles, who can beat up the most people. The moment you're the strongest person, you are the person that has the most control over animals that might hurt you. You're the person who has the most control over, like, you know, things that might impede you. Like, I don't know, something falls like a tree and you've got to build your hut. I don't know. You're the person who's able to get food the most often, right? Because you're just stronger, healthier, so you can get more food. And you can probably get more people to support you, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like, so to me, I associate the army with like that primal need for control. And so I think that's why I get attracted to it.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in that state.
But you want it to come from within. You want it to...
Well, I mean, the goal is I try to create as much control on my environment and on myself as possible. Because you know what they say, like, you become your environment and your environment becomes you, right?
Yeah.
So if you're like super disorderly inside, like, you know, mentally, emotionally, whatever, super whatever, your environment is going to reflect that.
Yeah.
You know, eventually you're going to start shaping your environment unconsciously to reflect what it is inside of you.
Yeah.
Now, I think it goes the other way too. If you live in an environment that's a total, complete, you know, trash can, you know, eventually, and if, let's say you can't change that, eventually that will start seeping in into you.
Yeah.
You know, now, and the other way, let's say your environment is an environment that is very orderly, that helps you succeed, that's very healthy. You're going to start absorbing some of those qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so what I'm trying to do right now, and I think that's the easiest way, you know, there are two ways of doing it. Either you change yourself or you start changing yourself.
Yeah.
And as a result, your environment naturally changes.
Yeah.
Or I think the easier way is you change the environment and you stay in that environment as much as you can until it starts changing you. So I think that's what we're doing. We're changing our environment as much as we can. And by environment, we don't just mean like our room, but we mean like what we do. You know, I associate environment with like what you do, you know, the kind of habits you do, the kind of routine you do. And we're creating like these routines that are very structured, you know, very disciplined, help you do hard things with the hope that eventually I will become the kind of person that that I'm very structured, very disciplined, and very good at doing hard things. Yeah. And that I won't even need any of my routines. I won't need to wake up early in the morning, do any of this stuff, but I'll still be that person. I'll still be able to do that kind of stuff. Whereas as of right now, just like I saw this week, if my routines go, I go back to who I was, which is a kid who is very, very hard to motivate himself.
Yeah.
You know, unwilling to go out and do these things. Yeah,
so you're trying to up your default game.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's the whole idea of you make your habits and then your habits make you.
I love that one.
Apparently, I know Jim Quick said that, but I think...
A bunch of people say that.
Yeah, that's true. A bunch of people say that. But even, like, even Aristotle, he said something like greatness is a habit. People who become great therefore practice it every day or something like that.
Yeah, we get
some. And people use that so often to say like, yeah, you just build a small routine.
Yeah.
That let's say you're fantastic only for 2 hours of the day. You know, from this time to this time, you do the same thing, but those things are like top notch.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the day, you're not so great, but eventually that top notch 2 hours will start spilling into the rest of the day.
That's good. I think. Yeah, I have nothing else to say.
Yeah, no, I think this one's shorter.
That's 46.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, I think that was a good old conversation.
No, that was fun. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, thank you, bro. We hope. Again, I mean, I know we most of the stuff we say, we're pretty much saying that go by yourself and go learn stuff on your own. But we do hope that some of the stuff we say might have been, I don't know, somewhat interesting to you, somewhat of interest and whatnot. But thanks, everyone, for listening, and we hope you all have a good week.